This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. This has been an historic Democratic convention, the first time an African American has won a major party nomination, and the first time a woman has come so close to getting it. A little later, we'll reflect on the significance of Barack Obama's nomination. But first, we're going to consider the significance of Hillary Clinton's campaign, the speeches she and Bill Clinton gave this week, and the place of the Clintons now in the Democratic Party. Our first guest is Joshua Green, a senior writer at The Atlantic magazine. He wrote an article in the September edition about problems within Hillary Clinton's campaign. The article included leaked emails and memos revealing conflicts within the campaign and strategies campaign leaders used and considered using against Obama. Green is at the Democratic convention. Joshua Green, welcome to Fresh Air. What was your take on Bill Clinton's speech last night?
Well, I thought it was terrific, especially given the intensity of the recent inter-party squabbling. Clinton really reminded everybody why he is such an astonishing political figure. He was known during his time in the White House as the comeback kid. I think the name applies after last night again. He did just about everything I think he could have done on Barack Obama's behalf. And in doing so, I think he went a long way toward restoring a damaged reputation.
And what about Hillary's speech?
I think Hillary did what was required of her. I don't think she went nearly as far as Bill Clinton did. Her speech, while gracious and while sort of ticking through the things that she needed to get through, it didn't have the passion. It didn't offer the specific personal endorsement that her husband's offered. When Bill Clinton got up there, he said, "You know, I know this man, and he is ready to be president." Clinton never quite went that far. She said, "No way, no how, no McCain." She drew some important contrasts. But one got the sense that she was holding back a little bit, even so.
The convention started with this drama of what's going to happen between the Hillary people and the Obama campaign, and will they make up, and will she really throw her support behind him? And then I think there was such enthusiasm for Bill Clinton's speech, and I think a lot of enthusiasm for Hillary Clinton's speech. Do you think, in a way, it's almost been like makeup sex within the party? That there's this, you know what I mean? That there's this like feeling of exhilaration that
yes,
a lot of people weren't counting on.
That's the best analogy I've heard, and frankly, not one that would quite have sprung to mind. But yeah, I suppose that's about what I'd call it. There were so many worries and expectations on both parties. You know, just 2 weeks ago, there was squabbling in the newspaper with some of Bill Clinton's folks. Leaking that, you know, he was unhappy with the assignment of having to talk about national security. He'd rather talk about the economy so he could kind of summon his own record. And in the event, he wound up talking about both of them and really sort of transcending the whole thing. I mean, his speech was the single best endorsement of a Barack Obama presidency that I've heard from anyone, and one that I think will be hard to top. So I would say that certainly the Obama wing of the party has to be exultant after last night. And when you stop and think about all the Clinton-Obama drama that has sort of played out, even since South Carolina, they really couldn't have done more on Obama's behalf at this convention, I think, than they did. So I think after last night, this kind of closes the book on the Clintons for now, provided we don't have any more of these flare-ups.
Do you have any idea of what happened behind the scenes, what kind of negotiations between the Hillary Clinton people and the Obama people about what she'd say, what she maybe wanted in return for making an enthusiastic endorsement, likewise with Bill Clinton?
Well, I think what Hillary Clinton wanted was to maintain some leverage, to maintain some hold over these 18 million voters whose vote she won in the primary. And I think that's something that rubbed the Obama folks the wrong way. Tradition in politics holds that if you lose, you rally around your party's candidate, and both Clintons seemed less than fully willing to do that. In the negotiations going on behind the scenes, the Obama folks, I think, were very bothered by the fact that Clinton tried to argue and kind of maintain this leverage. Because they believe, and I think most people believe, that if she gets a chance, she's going to run for president again. And Clinton didn't want to yield the supporters that she felt she'd earned. So that was a real source of tension. Beyond that, I think that there were some sort of growing pains. The Clintons and their supporters, their fundraisers, have been the stars in the center of the Democratic universe for 16 years. that's no longer the case. And I think that there's a difficult period of adjustment going on for a lot of them.
We know a lot of people within the Democratic Party perceive Hillary Clinton as having dragged out her concession long after it was clear that she'd lost, and keeping the party divided for a long period of time when it needed to be unifying. And yet now, I think the Clintons are perceived as having given real strong speeches endorsing Obama. So can you talk about where the Clintons stand now in the party, where Hillary stands in the Senate? Do you think that now that the Clinton speeches are done, does she have more or less power in the party and in the Senate than she did before?
I think because of the fact that they both acquitted themselves gracefully, that they both do still have significant power in the party. She, because she still has a slot in the Senate, and he, because he really went a long, long way, I think, toward redeeming a tarnished legacy. Had Bill Clinton not delivered that speech and Obama lost in the fall, I think his behavior over the course of the last 6 to 8 months would have been a real stain on his record. I think his speech was so strong last night that even in the event that Obama does not win in November, I think Clinton has largely redeemed himself. You can't watch that speech and think to yourself, Bill Clinton didn't go all out on Obama's behalf. As to the question of where they go from here and what sort of power they hold, I think a lot of that depends on what happens in November. If Obama wins, I think Bill Clinton will assume the role of kind of elder party wise man that I think he'd like. I wouldn't be surprised to see him shuttling back and forth between Washington and the Middle East. The question of Hillary Clinton is a much more difficult one. On the one hand, she's earned these millions and millions of supporters. On the other hand, it's not exactly clear what she can do with that power. If Obama's elected, she probably won't be able to run for president again for 8 years. I don't think she's popular enough within the Democratic Party to make a serious bid for majority leader. And so that leaves the sort of question of what does she do? The one option I can see that would seem to make sense and play to her strengths is really to take a lead role in the Senate on something like universal health care. Ted Kennedy, who made a dramatic appearance at the convention, is obviously ailing. While he's vowed to be on the Senate floor when Congress opens next January, it's going to be such an epic struggle to pass legislation of this scope. It's going to take more than Kennedy. It's going to take someone of Hillary Clinton's energy and expertise on the issue. So I think that's one way, at least in the short term, that she can still have an important public role and put some of this power and some of this excitement that still surrounds her candidacy to use in the U.S. Senate.
Have you heard talk behind the scenes about the possibility of Obama, if he wins, offering Hillary Clinton a position in the cabinet or considering her as a Supreme Court justice?
The talk of that mainly was during that period when the Obama folks were trying to sort of shuffle Hillary off the stage as quickly and as gracefully as they could. I haven't heard a lot of talk to that effect since then. For one thing, I'm not sure that Obama wants Clinton in his administration just because of the distractions that it might pose. Now, the Supreme Court would avoid a little bit of that and would certainly be an honor for Clinton. So I suppose that's one possibility. But beyond that, I'm not sure that Hillary Clinton wants a position in an Obama administration, even a fairly senior one. I mean, when you think about it, she has basically already served 8 years as co-president, vice president. So, making her Secretary of Transportation or Secretary of State or something to those effects is really, I think, a bit of a step down for her. And I'm not sure it's one that would hold a great deal of appeal.
You wrote an article in The Atlantic magazine that got a lot of attention about emails in the Hillary campaign that were leaked to you that showed some of the tactics the campaign was developing or considering developing against Barack Obama. These emails also showed divisions and anger within Hillary Clinton's campaign. Do you know what impact that had on the Clinton campaign or on the Obama campaign and on the Clinton-Obama relationship?
I've sort of gotten a back channel earful from both campaigns. I think that it helped to underscore the divisions between the two camps. It reminded both of them that there were a lot of bad feelings. A lot of the material that I got was from Mark Penn, her chief strategist, who wanted to run a very aggressive and negative campaign against Obama. And if you talk to people in the Obama universe, from senior strategists down to fundraisers, one of the reasons that they are so angry at Clinton is because of Penn, her chief strategist, and their belief that he was really out to damage Obama, not just to win the Democratic nomination. So I think the emails and memos made this coming together a little bit more difficult. But having said that, the speeches that the Clintons gave at the Democratic Convention, I think, really put all this stuff in the rearview mirror.
Which email do you think the Obama campaign found most disturbing?
I think a March strategy memo from Mark Penn, in which he laid out the case against Obama and talked specifically of wanting to go over what Penn called his lack of American roots. But even more broadly, I think it was the intensity with which the Clinton campaign kept pursuing and attacking Obama late into the spring and long after it was mathematically all but certain that Obama was going to be the nominee. I think seeing some of these behind-the-scenes strategy memos and what they were doing and saying at the time was something that kind of, you know, might have opened old wounds a little bit and reminded the Obama and Clinton folks why they dislike each other.
I should point out that Hillary Clinton decided not to follow the Mark Penn strategy.
You know, at the risk of sort of getting into the, I'm not entirely convinced that she didn't follow the Mark Penn strategy. Penn's strategy didn't say go out and call him a Muslim in a turban. It said we need to do this very quietly and behind the scenes, and we need to surround you with American flags and talk about how you're American from the middle of America. And she did an awful lot of that, as has McCain.
He was saying to her, you have to own the word American.
Yeah.
Tell us something you've seen behind the scenes at the convention that we won't have seen on television that you think is revealing about what's happening at the Democratic convention.
The number of people with Hillary supporters for Obama buttons. There's a tendency with you know, there are 15 million reporters in town, and everybody needs to file stories, and you know, cable news needs to air a lot of footage. And so the sense I get in my hotel room watching TV is that there's this large community of angry Clinton supporters who are not going to vote for Barack Obama, who are going to support John McCain and upset the election. And the truth is, if you go out and wander around the floor and talk to delegates, you'd be hard-pressed to find one of them. I must have spoken to dozens, if not hundreds, of them over the last 3 days, and I've only found one or two people that are really bitter and are going to refuse to vote for Barack Obama. So I think one of the stories that's been far overplayed is this idea of a lingering division between hardcore Hillary supporters who are unwilling to vote for Barack Obama.
Joshua Green, thanks so much for talking with us.
It's good to be with you.
Joshua Green is a senior writer for The Atlantic. He joined us from Denver.